God's given us the stewardship of the relationships that we're in. Right? Bev, it's so good to see you. Your smile is just awesome. Glory to God. It's so good. It's good to see people that we haven't seen for a while and some friends that we've never seen. And you're welcome here. We're just thrilled for you to be here. But it's interesting to me that our stewardship is not dependent on what others do with their stewardship. It's really important to get that. It's kind of like I've worked a lot of jobs in my life, and my performance review was not determined by what somebody else did. It was only based on what I did. And when I did right, it's amazing to me how more blessed I was on the job, right? I mean, promotions came, and it wasn't because I knew somebody. It wasn't because I was, you know, trying to manipulate it. It's just because I had good stewardship of the task that was involved, that I was tasked to do. Does that make sense to you? So with us, God requires stewardship. Everything that you have, and I believe this for everybody in the world, but especially those who've given their life to Jesus, right? What do we do when we give our life to Jesus? We say that He is our Lord. Lord. Lord means master, it means teacher, it means king, it means, as a title I was given when I worked in the shipyard, head honcho in charge. H-H-I-C, the head honcho in charge. So if we have a Lord, then He is the one who gives us certain things, but everything that He gives us belongs to Him. So you own nothing. You don't own your house. You don't own your cars. You don't own nothing. I'll prove to you that you don't own your house, even if it's paid off. Quit paying taxes. And pretty soon they'll come and take it away. Glory to God. But the reality is that everything that God has given us in life, we're stewards of. We read the scriptures about a good steward and a bad steward. But God expects me to do something with the stewardship that He's given to us. Right? Everybody wants to hear, I don't know about you, but I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or good and faithful steward. Have you done what I've told you to do? And another thing, once I was thinking about, what does it mean to be a successful Christian? Does it mean that I have this many notches in my belt, the people that I got saved? Does it mean, you know, that I've got a huge church? Does it mean that I've done these great things, been to Africa 4 times and seen people raised from the dead? What does it mean to be a successful Christian? And this is what the Lord put in my heart. It was, to be a successful Christian, you only need to do 2 things. Hear and obey. What you hear may not be what I hear. I don't need to obey what you hear. I need to obey what I hear. In other words, what God has put in my heart. I'm supposed to steward my relationship with the Lord. So we're talking about stewardship and relationships. The first one is with the Lord. You have a relationship with the Lord, but it's your job to steward it. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Glory to God. But let's start out in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to look at a few verses of scriptures. But it is absolutely our responsibility, but also our privilege to do something for God and with God. In fact, I think everything you do for God, it should be based on what you're doing with God. Thank you very much. Glory to God. And I'll just speak about some things as we're going through this. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God to the best of your ability. When you feel like it. No, our stewardship or with our relationship with God is based on this. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Come on. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. In other words, and Jesus said it this way, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So it's really, if we're going to steward our relationship with God, the first thing that we have to do is we have to say that the most important thing in my life is to please Him. I don't know about you, but I have to fight myself from being a people pleaser rather than a God pleaser. Because sometimes our decisions on following God may put us at odds with people who don't. Now, let's just give you a caveat there. I'm not talking about being weird. Right? There are some weird people that offend people just because they're weird and I can do it. Right? But we need to be at the place where, God, I'm going to do what you tell me to no matter what anybody else said. Jesus again said it this way. He said, unless you're willing to forsake mother, father, husband, wife, friends, brothers, whatever, unless you're willing to forsake them all, then you're not worthy of me. Is that true? Is that real? So but I think we can get to the place where we're preaching, we're stewarding our lives and our lives toward God with a half-hearted viewpoint. Yeah, God's there. He's in my life, and when I need Him, I call upon Him, and when things get bad, then I reach out to Him. But no, that's not good steward of the relationship that God has given you with Him. Good stewardship is as you get up in the morning, Lord, this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, but Lord, it's yours to do what you will in my life. Because my life and my relationship with you and my stewarding my life and that relationship has to be based on your will, not my will. Amen? Just a clue, His will is better than your will. Right? His will is better than your will. He looks at it from an eternal perspective, and we look at it from, you know, a time and frame type of thing. Go to chapter 10. We're going to look at a few verses. Well, how am I stewarding my relationship with God? And each one of us, and I'm telling you, at this time that we're living in this country today, if you don't steward your time and your relationship with God, the world will take it away from you. There's pressure. I don't know if you feel it. I feel it. Like, did the Lord really say? Is that really what God wants? Well, maybe God has changed His mind. No. His Word remains true. His Word is our standard, and we have to push into it. The Bible says things like that didn't really make a lot of sense to me because of how easy we've had it as Christians, especially in this country. But in Revelation it says, he that endures till the end will receive, right? He who endures. Our relationship with God has to be one that endures and continues. And we have to become fixed on that. No matter what happens, God, I choose you. I choose you. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12 says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. See, come on, the fear of the Lord has to be part of our relationship with Him. If we don't fear Him, then we're not stewarding the relationship that He's blessed us with. What does it mean to fear? Someone said, well, you know, it doesn't really mean to be afraid. It means to be in awe. And that's true to a point. But there's also a respect that comes by having a healthy understanding of who it is that we're in relationship with. Right? My dad loved me to pieces, And I never was really afraid of my dad. But when I acted up, now this was before the PC, and many of you older will know what I'm talking about. He said, "Do you want me to take off my belt?" When I'm saying that, I can hear the sound of the belt coming through the loops, right? But I wasn't afraid of my dad, but I feared the position that he held in my life, right? So a healthy fear of the Lord and our relationship with Him, stewarding that, says, "God, I understand that You love me, and I thank You that You love me, and I respect You, and I'm in awe of You, but I also know who You are, and I honor that," right? Glory to God. So we need to be in the place in our relationship and stewarding that, that we wake up and, "Lord, check my heart. Do I really, really fear You?" Chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep His charge, His statutes, His judgment, and His command always." Isn't it amazing? This is the same book. This was out of Moses' relationship with God and his telling them how to worship God and how to live with God. But over and over and over, he says similar things. "Therefore you shall love the Lord your God." So what I'm saying to you this morning, it's up to you to love the Lord for yourself. You can't love the Lord because somebody else loves the Lord. And your loving the Lord may be different than somebody else's loving the Lord. But you have to steward your life. Let me just give you an example. I'm a worshiper. When I say that, I love to sing. As far as I'm concerned, we could do this for 2 hours and then begin, right? But other people aren't like that. That's not their gifting. I know teachers that are, you know, they're so anointed to teach, and all they want to do is teach the Word. And when they're in a service like this, they're, "Let's get that music over because I want to teach." But their worship comes in the hours that they spend investigating. And so they're stewarding their worship in a different way. In fact, worship is a part of our stewardship, but it comes in many different forms. Worship isn't the slow songs that we sing. Worship really means to bow down, to bow low, to prostrate yourself before the Lord. What that means is "God, You're God. And I'm going to respect You. I'm going to honor You." And so that may be different in each one of us, but I'm not responsible to steward your worship. You are. I'm responsible for my worship. How am I stewarding that? What am I doing in my life? You know, today, tomorrow, the next day, am I doing something that shows that I have a relationship with God? We're talking about stewardship in your relationship. Glory to God. Go to verse 13. It says, "And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I commanded you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul." Glory to God. You know, when we get this understanding, and if we get to this point, then we begin to limit our choices. What do I mean? I mean that if you really love the Lord your God, then choice to lie is no longer a choice. Because you've made that choice when you decided to serve Him, when you're stewarding your relationship. A decision to hate is no longer a decision. I refuse to hate you. Watch this. I refuse to be offended. How many have ever been offended? All of us have. But you have to refuse it. Why? Because your relationship with the Lord and your stewardship of it demands, "I refuse to be offended." You can try to offend me, and you can do offensive things to me, but I'm not going to carry that because I love the Lord my God, and I'm going to obey His commands, and therefore, I've already made a choice. Come on. I've forgiven you in advance. That doesn't mean come and do something ugly to me because I don't like it, right? But I've forgiven you in advance. I feel like God is given that responsibility to me, and if I do in advance, then my choice is already made, and I don't have to dwell on it when the event happens because I'm stewarding my relationship with Him. Verse 22. For if you carefully keep all the commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to hold fast to Him, then the Lord will drive out all the nations before you and will dispose greater and mightier nations than yours. In other words, watch this. We cannot continue to have the favor of God and the blessing of God on our life unless we're stewarding our relationship with Him. Right? If we're not doing what he asks us to do, then we can't necessarily receive all the benefits. How many love the mercy of God? How many love the grace of God? Need them very much, right? I need them in my life all the time. I'm glad His mercies are new every morning, right? But for me to just constantly use my relationship based on mercy and live my life, Lord, if I mess up, then Your mercy will cover it. There's something wrong with that. Right? There's something, because we're not stewarding what God has given to us, our relationship with Him. Right? So in our stewardship, we have to understand that He is Lord. He is Lord. Do you understand that God is holy? Did you really understand? Without the blood of Jesus, if you walked into the presence of God, you would die. But yet, because of the blood, now we are given the invitation to come boldly before His throne to find help in our time of need, right? Glory to God. But it's because of the blood, right? But He's holy. He's worthy. He is the God of love. He's the God of mercy. But He's also the God of judgment and justice. Right? Glory to God. I can only remember actually growing up probably, once or twice ever feeling the wrath of the belt. Right? He just didn't use it all the time. The threat was worse than that. Than the actual action. But the reality is that it did motivate me to live my life in such a way that I wanted good things instead of bad things, right? And so sometimes our relationship with God, if we just get it in our hearts that God wants us for good rather than evil, then when we come against and in throughout all the epistles and everything, do this, don't do that, then we go, listen, that's not to harm me. It's not to steal my fun. But it's because God knows what's best. Right? And so if I'm going to steward my relationship with Him, I'm going to say, Lord, okay, from this day forward, that's no longer going to be a part of my life. How many know that you have to speak to yourself? Right? Well, you do anyway, but I'm saying purposefully on time and in line. It's not a, Bruce, you no longer have the right to hold resentment. Bruce, you no longer have the right to be justified in your own sight. I want to be so bad. God, don't you know what they did to me? I have to leave that with Him because He's the only one that can justify. Are you getting what I'm saying? We have to live our lives out of relationship with Him. Glory to God. Go with me, and I gave Mike a lot more scriptures than I'll probably use today, which is normal. Go with me to Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8. And if you can't find it, that's all right. It says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God." If you want to have and be a good steward of the life that God has given you, then this verse, apply it to your heart all the time. Right? What do I need to do? I need to do justly. I need to do the right thing when it's presented before me. How many of we know that we all have choices to make when the right thing comes along? Right? We all do. We know. And here's the cool thing about choices is that choices belong to you. Stewardship is about the choices that you make. Did you know no one can make you mad? No one can make you bitter. No one can make you sad. No one can make you happy. No one can make you joyful. Now, they can do some things to enhance that, or they can do some things to take away from that. But what I'm saying is, if you choose not to go where your feelings are telling you to go, you can come against that and say, "Listen, I'm not going to let you steal my joy. I'm not going to let you steal my peace. I choose life instead of death. I choose joy instead of grumbling and complaining. I choose," and that is stewarding your relationship with God. Your choice. And again, in Deuteronomy, he said, "Look, I put before you this day life and death. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life." Our stewarding, our relationship with the Lord is choosing what He tells us to do, because we know that He's Lord and that He has our best interest at heart. And at the end of the day, I would rather be in His good graces than yours. Thank you very much. Absolutely. Choose. Well, but I want to do this. Here's what I need to do. I need to do justly. I need to love mercy and walk humbly with your God. You know, for me, and probably not for you, I want God to show me mercy more than I want Him to show you mercy. All right. I want Him to not give me what I deserve, but there are times where I want to really have Him pour it on you. You know, and I'm just saying from my heart. There are times where my heart wants to go there, right? God, I thank you. Yeah, I've got this part in this thing, but that, Lord, just, you know, I didn't mean it, Lord. You love me. Have mercy, Lord. But you know what they did, God. You know what they did, God. And I don't know if you want to strike them with lightning or if you want angels, you know, I don't, however severe you want to make it, God, I know I'm exaggerating this, but our hearts need to come back to, "No, Lord, no, Lord, I love mercy. I love mercy." Think about Stephen when he was, you know, they were going to stone him to death. They were literally going to pick up rocks and keep pelting him until he died. You know, you can spiritualize that, but rocks hurt. Rocks hurt. But he showed mercy even at that point. Because he said, "Lord, forgive them. Don't hold this sin against them." Why? Because he was stewarding his relationship with the Lord at that point. And their souls were more important to him than his pain. Go to 1 John chapter 2. You are responsible for how you steward your relationship with other people. You are. I am. I've really had this driven home to me and how we, you know, it's interesting to me that sometimes we treat people who are a distant from us better than we do the ones that we're the closest to. You know, sometimes we lash out and we get angry and we show our ugly side to the people that are closest to us. And part of that, you know, well, it's flat wrong. First of all, it's flat wrong. But part of that is that there's security in knowing that you'll be with me even if I show my bad side. But the reality is they don't deserve that, so stop it. Amen. thank you. And this was driven home to me this week. I may not go into the details, but look at chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, "Brethren, I write to you no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had had from the beginning. The old commandment that is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which is the thing is true in him and in you, because darkness has passed away and the true light has already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. But he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. For he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because his darkness has blinded his eyes." Now watch this. If we're going to walk in the light, then love is our guiding light. That's what we do. We love our brothers. Now again, my stewardship is not based on your stewardship. It's based on my relationship with him. What does that mean? If you love me, great. If you don't, it doesn't matter, because I'm going to love you anyway. And it's interesting here that he says, an old commandment I give you, but yet a new commandment I give you. But it's the same commandment. How can it be old and new at the same time? I'll tell you. Because under the old covenant, no one was born again. So they did not have the capacity to love like God loves. But under the new commandment, under the New Testament, under the absolute work that Jesus accomplished in our hearts and in our lives, the Bible says that he shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. I need to be a steward of the love of God. I don't love based on my ability, but I love based on his ability. But in order to get his ability active in my life, I've got to shut mine down at times and say, "Lord, I can't do this on my own, but I ask you to do it through me." He does. He'll do it. Sometimes I ask God for wisdom because I need it. I'm not that smart. But the Holy Spirit gives it to me. So when I'm beginning to steward what God has given me to other people, I've got to understand that every person that God puts in my life, every person, even the guy that gives gestures on the road that aren't very flattering, right? That you're a steward of how you respond to them. And your stewardship of that is not based on how they're acting toward you. Your stewardship of that is based on your relationship with him. Right? We're supposed to love them whether they love us or not. We're supposed to be kind to them whether they're kind to us or not. We're supposed to forgive them whether they forgive us or not. So my relationship with God and my relationship with others are only based on what he's told me not what I feel, not what I see, not what feels right. It's based on His love that's been shed abroad in my heart. And I'm responsible for that. Are you understanding me? I am responsible for that. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And I want you to take a look at this and then think about this in what we're talking about. Stewardship, stewarding the relationship that God has put in my life. And let me tell you about this story, and I hope it will illustrate what I'm talking about. I was worked in the shipyard as a supervisor, and I had this one particular fella that was kind of a pain in my butt. In other words, he did things that irritated me because I'm kind of a cowboy a little bit when let's just get the thing done. But I'll mention his name. He probably doesn't watch, but his name was Norm. Norm was by the book, by the letter, this is what the code says, this is what the law says, this is what the R, you know, he was that person. And sometimes he irritated the fire out of me. But he was the most valuable person on my team. Because he brought me back to the place that I needed to be in order to lead in a way that wouldn't get us in trouble long term. So what am I saying? I'm saying some of the people that in our life that irritate us the most may just be there for a reason. How are you stewarding that? How are you stewarding that? Are you saying, okay, God, I'm at a struggle with this person. Instead of going, Lord, deal with them. Lord, you know they're not stewarding their life very well. How about getting alone with God and saying, okay, God, I can't do anything about them, but I want to steward this relationship in the way that you would have me steward it. What about me? Deal with my heart. Come on. Lord, in fact, I'll leave them with you, and I want to spend time with you so that you can speak to me about my heart. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is so important. Chapter 7 and verse 12. You know this. You know this verse. It's incredible. It says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Do unto others, the King James would say, as you'd have them do unto you. Who's that for? That's for me. That's for me. If I'm going to steward this verse, then I have to put it in practice in my life. And the next time you want to yell at somebody, turn it around and say, how would I like it if they yelled at me? How would I like it if they stewarded their relationship with me the way I'm about to steward it with them? Now, there's nothing wrong with being angry. There's nothing wrong with being, you know, putting borders around yourself, all of those things. But you still have to steward your heart in doing all of that. And again, doing anger in a healthy way, right? All of those things. It's like, okay, Lord, help me with that. Help me to steward that. And we look at this sometimes, again, as I was saying earlier, that we look at this about strangers rather than about those who are closest to us. And I think it needs to be exactly opposite of that. Lord, how do I act? I need to act like I want others to act to me. So if I want respect, I need to be a respectful person. If I want kindness, I need to be a kind person. You know, if I want understanding, then I need to be an understanding person. Right? If I want people to let me be who I am, then I need to let people be who they are. I'm thinking about being a parent, right? A parent, that's tough. But I think oftentimes, and I know that I fell into it, and it's easy to do, is that I was parenting out of how it affected me rather than how it affected them. So I wasn't being a very good steward of that relationship. Now God's mercy and God's grace is awesome, but what I'm talking about this morning is like, Lord, am I being a good steward of the relationships that you put in my life? And if I'm not, help me to get better. Help me to get better. And the way that you relate to others, has such a reflection on your relationship with the Lord. And I'm talking about people close to you. We all know this, and none of us are perfect, and don't get that in mind, but we all know that we've been around people that say, well, I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord, and then they cut in front of us or do something ugly to us. One particular guy that I'm thinking of, love the Lord, I love Jesus. I mean, if there are bumper stickers, he'd have them on his car, and you know, Jesus, 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 Jesus. But then if he got mad, he'd curse you out. Now there's all kinds of issues there, and I don't want to make full blanket statements, but the reality is I need to be a steward and a thoughtful steward over every relationship that I have. God, they're in my life. No matter what the reason is, you've put me in a place of influence over them. If I can do nothing else, I can pray for them and I can love them. How do you forgive somebody that's wicked? And somebody who's acted wickedly toward you? I would say probably that 95% of the people in this room have suffered some sort of abuse. And some of it much more severe than others. How in the world do you be a good steward over your relationship with that person who abused you? Well, first of all, you have to let God heal your heart. And you have to say, Lord, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't want to forgive them. I want to castrate them. I want them to suffer. I want them to get what they deserve. That's normal, man. I mean, that's... But here's the reality. Lord, I want them, if there's legal ramifications for their actions, I want them to take full part of that. But you've forgiven me of everything that I've ever done wrong. And God, I need your forgiveness. And Lord, you have the big sky picture of everything. And so I'm going to trust you with all of that. And I'm going to release them to you because that's what you've asked me to do. And my stewardship, even with that man or that woman or those folks, I'm giving to you. Is that easy? Yes and no. It's a decision, right? But it's a decision that you're going to have to continually reinforce because the thoughts are going to continue to come back and back and back and back and back. But if I'm going to be a steward of the relationship that God has for me, then I have to act toward you the way that he's asked me or commanded me to do so. Forgive, be kind, be humble, all of the things. It's like, Lord, I need to steward that relationship with others. How many know that some people are easier to steward than others? There are some people I like to be around. There are some not so much. But your pastor, you should like, no. No, there's people I don't like to be around. And those are the ones that I have to work harder on. Lord, allow me to love them. Show me how to love them. Lord, and sometimes that's hard. But if I'm going to be a steward of that relationship, then I have to get in line with what God has told me. So this morning, we're talking about relationships. And it's like, go to the Lord and talk to Him. Lord, have I been a good steward of my relationship with You? And we can all do better. Don't be under condemnation, but just make a decision that, Lord, I'm understanding that I was taking that relationship for granted, and I'm going to become a better steward of my time with You. And a second one, Lord, if there's anybody in my life that I have failed to take the opportunity to steward Your love to them, forgive me, but show me how to do that from this time going forward. Does that make sense to y'all? Come on, glory to God. Because His commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. Right? So we want to do that, amen? We want to please Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word today. Holy Spirit, I'm just asking You right now to speak to every heart that's here in the room or those that are watching online. And Lord, I ask You to just touch their hearts today. I'm not up here trying to preach condemnation or even my ideas to people. Lord, what I'm asking You to do is to check our hearts against what You've said this morning. And if there's anything that we need help with in this, Holy Spirit, I'm just asking You to be the one to help us. Lord, I know that it's impossible, absolutely impossible, outside of a relationship with You through Jesus Christ, to be a good steward of anything. But because we've been born again, because we've given our lives to Jesus, You've given us the capacity to live our lives from a supernatural standpoint. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, and you there watching, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, right now is your chance. So just, it's simple, but it's so profound. You can say the words, but you have to mean it with all your heart. So this morning, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just speak this prayer with me. Just say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I need Your mercy. I need a Savior. So I believe in my heart, with all of my heart, and so I'm saying it with my mouth, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And God, You raised Him from the dead, ever proving who He is. So right now, by faith, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And with Your help, Lord, with Your guidance, from this point forward, I'll live for You. If you prayed that prayer, the Bible says you became a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus loves you. He has a plan for your life. We need to be stewards of it. Glory to God. If I could have the worship team come up, we'll end the service with a song. But as we're singing it, just spend a few moments. Don't get too busy about leaving unless you have to get out right away. But just spend some time with God. Let Him speak to you at this time, because He loves you. If you need prayer afterwards, be happy to pray with you. God bless you. I'm so glad you came. So good to see the faces that I haven't seen for a while. God is good all the time. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. We love You, Lord. Come on, just talk to Him. Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We honor you. We praise you. We give you glory. You've been so good to us. Mm-hmm.